hearing and we're enjoying and we're feeling and we're touching that word, you know. We can pick up the Bible, we can pick up an iPhone, we can pick up a pad, a tablet, and there's a word instantly right there. How many know touching that is not going to help us? Seeing that is not going to help us. Speaking that is not going to help us. We're going to have to do the word. The Bible said we have to do the word. And it says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he redeemed sin in the flesh. God redeemed us from that. He brought us back from sin. We was taken into sin by Adam and Eve, and Jesus brought us out of sin. He brought us on out, the perfect Lamb of God. You know, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. See, we have to fulfill the righteousness of the law. It's got to be fulfilled in us. Who walk not after flesh, not after this flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we got to stop walking as mere men in the flesh. We have to become supernatural walkers and livers. We have to live in a supernatural state, in a supernatural atmosphere. We have to live in the Spirit, you know. For we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I just want to lift one verse up in your hearing, and then I'll walk through the text while you share the word in your Bibles. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." May the Lord add a blessing to his word. May be seated. That has been moving and ministering in my heart for several days now, and I've tried to escape it, go around it, but God has this word for the believers to both encourage us and to inform us in matters of spiritual law, to help us deal with issues both of great and yet minute matters. Prayer is the covering for all areas of communication that the creature has with the Creator. And it's important to understand that from various vantage points. First of all, when Jesus tells this parable, what is a parable but an earthly story with a heavenly meaning? So he's trying to convey a spiritual reality in telling this earthly story. So lest we forget that Jesus is simply trying to help us to relate, to understand, to correlate, to be able to put it together, to understand the power of prayer. It will transform our lives. How many of you been praying for something for a long time and you knew it was the will of God and you knew God wanted you to have it, and yet it has not come to pass? You knew it was right. You knew it was worthy. You knew it was something you desired, but it has not come to pass. We've been taught you can pray one time and forget about it, because if he heard you, you know that you have the petition that you have requested of him. And while that is true, what we must understand is that this world is not our home. Those of us who are born again don't belong to Satan and this world's system. Those of us who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who now belong to God, are in a system whereby Satan has been given the privilege of dominion over this world's order. And so to understand that, you've got to understand the way that you get to God is through prayer in the name of Jesus, because of the blood-bought right in your redemption. In other words, in the spirit realm, there are legalese, things that must be done according to legal matters. Now, Jesus taught much on prayer, but what's interesting about this prayer, unlike Matthew 6 and 9, when he teaches about praying in a father-child relationship, he taught us to say, "Our Father." And you know the rest of it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5, he talks about a friend-to-friend relationship, but he ends that by saying, if evil parents know how to give their children good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give you good gifts? It is because of Jesus that we have entered in by way of friendship. He said, you're no longer servants, but I call you friends. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, he talks about the prayer of agreement. He said, if just two of you touching anything on earth ask his Father in his name, it will be done. You look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, and he talks about the soul, the struggle of the soul in prayer, when he says that he was sorrowful even unto death. But one of the things he wanted them to understand is that prayer was the median to get to God, to get answers in this earth realm. Now, we've been taught you must watch, fight, and pray. Now, the word don't tell you watch, fight, and pray. Jesus told him in the 26th chapter, he said, watch with me. And when he came and found them asleep, he says, pray. Not for me, but that you enter not into temptation. He told them to watch. What was he telling them to watch for? He was telling them to watch what he was praying for. What was he telling them to pray for? Thy will be done. You see, your prayer, listen at this, is not to inform God, because Matthew 6 says he already know what you have need of. Your prayer is not to convince God, because Jesus said, thy will, not your will, be done. So what do I pray for? That I may come in agreement with his word. When I agree with what God has said, it puts me in position to receive the benefit of my prayer. In other words, God's already told me what's right, what's good, what's perfect, what's blessed, what's this, what's that. And all I have to do is put my amen to what he has said. But I want you to understand something. He puts this prayer in a court scene. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us that we're ministers and stewards of the mysteries. So what does that mean? That means there are some revelations that God only gives to those who are stewards and ministers of God, that he don't give to everybody else. So I'm trying to let you in on some stuff he done shared with me to help you out. One of the things that you're going to realize is he says men ought always to pray and not to faint, which means to lose heart. Don't get weak. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Press your claim. Why does he make it clear to us? Because he puts this in a courtroom scene. Now listen at this. If you get to understand the deeper message here, verse 2 tells us about there is a city, and in this city there's a judge. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. Verse 3 tells us there is a woman who's a widow in that city, who went to the judge saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Verse 4 says, he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, what did he say to himself? Though I fear not God nor regard man. Verse 5. Yet because this widow woman troubleth me. Listen. I will avenge her. Now listen at this. Lest she continues to come to me and weary me. Then verse 6, Jesus say, do you hear what the unjust judge said? Now let me take some time and break that down for you, because if you had got it, you'd be shouting already. Let me go back and help us understand some things right quickly. First of all, you need to realize that when you pray as a child of God, you have the legal right to ask your heavenly Father for whatever he says is right according to his word. But because Satan is the prince of the air, Satan tries to create interference so that the signals are crossed. Listen, he can't stop it, but he can delay it. And if you give up, then it only prolongs the prayer and the answer to the prayer that you've prayed and have a right to. Let me bring you back, because I want to deal with this subject extensively in time to come, but I just want to throw this out just to whet your appetite. Daniel, in the 10th chapter of Daniel, verse 11, 12, and 13, prayed for 21 days and fasted for an answer to the vision that he had received. And for 21 days he prayed. And on the 21st day, the angel appeared to him and told him, Daniel, listen at this now. We heard you pray from the first day. The first day you uttered that prayer, heaven heard you. But why did not the answer come? Well, the answer the angel gives us is eye-opening for us to understand sometimes God hears us immediately but does not answer us immediately. Well, let me help you understand. He does answer us, but the answer doesn't get to us as quickly, because we have got to create an atmosphere for it to come. Here's what the angel said. He said, because of your words. Listen at this now. Satan created a conflict in the cosmos. Because of your words, you stirred up heaven and you also stirred up hell. Because of your words, the devil got mad and tried to block you. And when I tried to bring it to you the first day, he stopped me. So I had to go back and get Michael the archangel. And I left him fighting with the prince of Persia. And I finally made it through to bring you the answer. He had him the first day, but it took 21 days for him to get. Y'all not hearing me today. Daniel had a legal right to ask for it. But you got to realize that there were some things in the cosmos. Listen, when your prayers stir up heaven, I got news for you, it also stirs up hell. Devil can't stop you, he can't block you, because you've got a right. But don't think he's gonna just let it pass like anything. And sometimes you've got to realize you got to press your claim. Press your claim. You can't just say, Father, you heard me, and I know that you got it, and that's it. Sometimes you got to keep on praying, not because God is hard of hearing or not because you didn't believe it the first time, but you are creating an opening in the atmosphere that the devil has created to bring interference. So notice what he says. Verse 3, this woman who is the plaintiff, which registers her complaint with the court. She's the plaintiff. She makes her petition known. Avenge me of mine adversary. Now, one of the things that you'll notice as you study scripture and get into the historicity of these matters, you'll know that this had to be a Roman judge or a Gentile judge under a pagan judicial system, because it was only one judge rendering the decision. In the Jewish culture, if she were permitted to go to the Jewish judicial system, that would have been three judges. Because in the Jewish system, she would have been able to pick a judge, the defendant would have been able to pick a judge, and that would have been a third independent judge, and all three of them judges would have agreed on the judgment, so that would have been a balance and equity in the decision. But this man made decisions by himself, which suggests he was a Roman or a pagan judge who was used to being bribed, who took money under the table to side with the wrong who paid him off right. He was an evil judge, one who did not fear God, nor did he regard man. He didn't care if he entered a life sentence on them if the price was right. He didn't care if that person had been misused and abused as long as his bribe was right. It was all about lining his pockets so that he was all right and not so much about justice. And this woman came to him and said, "Avenge me of my adversary." Now, here's what I want you to see. She went to the right place and she made her petition known. Now, listen to this, because this is helpful to us. Notice in the text, she never talks to the adversary. She never rebuked him in Jesus' name. She never bind and loosed and opened and closed and none of that. She ain't had nothing to say to the adversary. She focused her attention and her petition on the judge, because what she had sense enough to know was that it didn't make sense to argue with the adversary, because the reason they were in court in the first place is because he wouldn't listen to her. So why waste her time arguing with him when she went to the one who could do something about her problem? See, a whole lot of us waste our time arguing with the devil, binding and loosing and cursing the devil. And y'all can get quiet if you want. Satan, I bind you. Go to the judge. Let the judge render the decision, and the adversary becomes of no moment. It wouldn't matter what the adversary said if the judge said, "You win." And so she focused her attention on the judge. Now listen at this. Avenge me of mine adversary. What does that mean? Give me justice. Or do justice for me. He was the only one that can do that. And listen at this, because I want you also to see this. The Bible does not say in detail what the plaintiff's petition was all about, because it's irrelevant to the story. The relevance is, don't give up. Press your claim. He's trying to show them a principle to operate in. When you're right, go to the right place and stay there until you get what you went there for. What good would it have done her to go any other place? So there in the court, she made her petition known. And notice what verse 4 says. And he would not for a while. But lest we miss these two words, but afterward. But afterward. He said within himself, and you know how we say it, self, though I fear not God nor regard man. I've got to do something about this woman. Now, here's what I want you to see. The petition, the plaintiff's petition, verse 2, I want you to see, verse 4, rather, I want you to see the plaintiff's, listen, perseverance. Now, the Bible doesn't say that she said anything else. However, what it does infer is that her words ring out in his ear so clearly that her presence spoke volumes as if she were screaming at him. You see, in other words, that's why you got to use your words. You've got to speak words right and powerfully, because the Bible says, listen to this, in Revelation 12, that the accuser goes day and night before the Father accusing the brethren. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Now, why is he seeking whom he may devour? Because when you belong to God, he cannot devour you. What is he doing? Now, notice the word say adversary here. Because a part of the definition of that is not only is he an opponent, but he is a legal contender. And what he's doing is going around gathering information on you. Picking this up and picking that up, listening to your conversations, looking at your texts, your instant message, your Facebook posts. He's listening at your gossip. He's listening to your thoughts. And he has gone before God, telling God everything you do. And he's bringing up issues, evidence against you. Why? So that he'd have a legal right to say to God, you can't answer his prayer because look at what he's done. But listen to what the Bible says. But we overcame him by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Listen, because we are saved, we have a right to go to God and with our mouths confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we get through, we're not saying the devil is lying on us. We're saying, Lord, forgive us. With a true repentant heart, and it makes what the devil has accused you of none effect. This woman kept coming. She persevered. Every day she'd show up in the courtroom. Didn't have to say a word. She just showed up because he wasn't through with her case yet. And the reason I know he wasn't through with her case yet was because he hadn't rendered a decision in her favor. So she just said, well, maybe my case is not big enough, so he has prioritized other cases, but I'll just show up and sooner or later, he'll get to me. And every day he opened up his court, guess who was in the court? That widow woman looking at him. Avenge me of mine enemies. Whether she said a word or not, he heard it in his ear. He heard it in his mind, and he heard it in his heart.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L.